Remakers Mark special episode number 25, cover songs. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Remakers Mark. Here we are in our 25th special episode where we're talking about the remakes of the music world cover songs. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks, Jeremy Nilsson, Lee, how the heck are you, and Mark Josting.
Lee, we didn't plan ahead for that one.
That's correct. I just winged it. That is correct. That's the past tense of winged.
We sure as hell didn't wang that one.
We did chung it, though. Whoa, snap. I think that was racist. I'm not sure. Sorry, everybody. Okay, moving on. So in our In Memoriam episode, we talked a lot about Rick Ocasek and the, the influence that he had in power pop, the musicians that he worked with. And there was just like a spark in us, which might seem a little bit weird when we're talking about dead people, but still there's an appreciation and a love for music and the world around it that is shared amongst us with the love that we have for movies. And I was just really thinking about that. And I thought, you know, it's kind of interesting that like we talk about remakes of movies all the time and we've never really talked about remakes of songs. And so that's what we're going to do today. We are going to cover remakes of songs, or as the rest of the world calls them, cover songs. So these are songs that were originally performed or written by other people that we are going to talk about covers of them written by other individuals that bring their own sort of style and panache to them. So we are going to talk in this episode about two covers that we really like. And then there's going to be a part two to this where we talk about our favorite cover of all time and then our least favorite, our worst cover of all time. So we are excited about that. And we reached out to a lot of our listeners and friends and got tons of great feedback on that. So we'll be doing a little bit listener feedback along the way. So let's tune up our guitars, open up our fake books, and get things started. I'll be starting it off. So the first of the covers here is the song Georgia Lee, originally by Tom Waits, and the cover by Phoebe Bridgers. Take a listen.
Where Georgia was found, she's too young to be out on the street. I was in girl watching.
Where Georgia was found, she's too young to be out on the street. Why wasn't God watching? Why wasn't God listening? Why wasn't God there for Georgia?
So the original song by Tom Waits was about a young, I believe a 12-year-old African-American girl named Georgia Lee, who went missing. And as was often the case, basically no one cared in the larger world. You know, in the African-American community, they tried to find her to no avail. And in the larger outside, you know, white world, it didn't get any attention. And then a few months later, there was a case of a individual who was lost, who was white, and it was a nationwide, you know, search, and it was a huge deal all over the place. And so it's basically just kind of goes to show the sadness around just kind of lost innocence as a child, a missing child, but especially a missing child who unfortunately lived in a time where they didn't have the world around them to support them in the way that they should have been. And it is a beautiful song. Tom Waits is an extraordinary musician, extraordinary singer. It's very sparse, really interesting piano, but it's all about his singing and his singing the story. And he does so really wonderfully. There is a tribute album featuring all female artists called Come On Up to the House. this past year. And the song that we heard, the cover of Georgia Lee by Phoebe Bridgers, is from that album. Phoebe Bridgers is a sort of folk indie singer-songwriter, and she is one of my favorites right now. Her album, A Stranger in the Alps, which, yes, that is a Big Lebowski reference, if anybody wants to know. It is, I think, maybe, boy, it's really hard. It's if not my most listened to record of the last probably year and a half, it's darn close. It is absolutely beautiful, extraordinary, really kind of somber, kind of in the Bright Eyes, Connor Oberst school. They have collaborated on a few things, but just really, really wonderful. You should definitely give it a listen. And she does the song justice. It is beautifully sung, beautifully played. She's a very excellent guitarist. She plays a baritone guitar mostly. Just really great. So that is my pick for my third favorite cover of all time, or just right now. I just think it's a really good one. Jer, on to you. What's yours?
For me, and I love cover songs. I have sought them out for a long time. And for me, a good cover song has to accomplish a couple different things. It has to be recognizable as the original song. You have to kind of be able to tell that what it was. You can't just completely change it. But I think that beyond that, a really good cover song takes that original song and transforms it into something different, whether that's changing a genre and making it into something just brand new, or taking it and putting a different emotional spin on it and transforming it that way. I think that my first choice is one of, in my opinion, the best examples of that. It's the song Hurt that was originally written by Nine Inch Nails. It was from their 1992 album Downward Spiral. Trent Reznor is and was a fantastic musician, an amazing composer, and the Downward Spiral album is haunting. It is beautiful. It is unlike anything that I had heard back in the 90s. And I still to this day listen to it every once in a while. And the song is a very broken song. And when Johnny Cash covered it in 2002, it was at the very late stages of his life. I think it was one of, if not the last studio album that he put out. And you could tell when you hear it, you can hear his voice breaking. You can hear the emotion in his singing. And he takes this song about being broken and being hurt and puts this emotional spin on it that really makes you feel the power of where he is in his life at this point. And understanding that he doesn't have much time left, that his body is broken down, and it's almost a farewell. And he takes a beautiful, powerful, poetic song and elevates it, transforms it into something even more than that by adding in his, not just his spin on it, because that's too trite. He adds in his emotion. He adds in who he is as a person and where he is at this time of his life. And it's a beautiful song to begin with. And he just takes this beautiful song and he makes it into something even more. And so you can hear that when you listen to the way that he sings it. Johnny Cash singing Hurt is a beautiful song, and I absolutely love it. And so here is both Nine Inch Nails and Johnny Cash singing Hurt.
My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end, and you could have it all. Let you
And so that is Hurt by Johnny Cash, a beautiful, haunting song.
Hear, hear.
And now I will pass it off to Andy, who's going to talk about a beautiful old song. Andy?
Oh, thanks for calling me a beautiful old song, Jer. Well, so and so.
A little warbly, low production value, still so man, good.
That's me to a T. It's going to be on my tombstone. I am doing, for my first cover, the original song is These Arms of Mine by Otis Redding, released in 1964. Otis Redding's version of this song is amazing, as most Otis Redding songs are. It's a classic soul ballad. But the remake I'm doing is actually one done by Joan Osborne in 2002. Joan Osborne of What If God Was One of Us fame, which I personally don't like that song very much, but I really, really love this version of the song. It's a very mournful love ballad talking about how someone misses someone else and how what they would do to get that person in their life and things like that. The original is done very much in that kind of classic early to mid 60s style. While it's got a lot, I mean, it's fantastic, and it's sung by, you know, as only Otis Redding can. The tempo is a little up, though, in the cover version that we're going to listen to is a lot slower. There's a more of a mournful quality to it, I think. And it's just, it's a achingly beautiful version. So here we're going to listen to Otis Redding's version of These Arms of Mine, followed by Joan Osborne singing These Arms of Mine. Now we're going to move on to Mark, who I'm really intrigued about this one. Tell us more, Mark.
Okie dokie. My first submission for this episode is Thin Lizzy's version of Whiskey in the Jar. I don't credit Whiskey in the Jar because it's a traditional song. It's an Irish folk song. It portrays the traditional Irish themes of piracy and whiskey. It's a fun song if you hear the traditional versions of it. Thin Lizzy, who is a 70s Irish rock band famous for The Boys Are Back in Town, Jailbreak, and others. This is a band that was really innovative in their time and really, really loved their electric guitar leads. Did a lot of harmonizing. That was a great band. And especially if you're a guitarist, you got to appreciate that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What they brought to this folk song was a slower tempo, a really that rock drive that kind of pulls at your gut, combined with those beautiful harmonized electric leads that they love to do. They took a traditional song and made it very, very Thin Lizzy, which, as Jer mentioned, I think is one of the hallmarks of a great cover. Let's take a listen.
Listeners, this version of the original is by the Dubliners.
Where fall the daddy-o, there's whiskey in the jar. and it made a pretty penny. I put it in me pocket and I took it home to Jenny. She sighed and she swore that she never would deceive me. But the devil take the women, for they never can be easy. Mushering or lunar.
There we have it, the Thin Lizzy with Whiskey in the Jar. All right, Lee, let's move on to you.
My first entry is Megadeth's cover of Anarchy in the UK by the Sex Pistols. I chose this one because this is my earliest memory of listening to Megadeth. And growing up in southern Minnesota, pretty much a teenager in the 1980s knew who Megadeth was simply because the bass player is from Jackson, Minnesota, which was not far from where I grew up. And I learned recently that my mom, she went to high school in Jackson and actually babysat Dave Ellefson when he was a baby.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nuts.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But this was the first song I ever heard from Megadeth, and I didn't realize it was a cover until I got a little older. But I like how they took, you know, just sort of a ratty punk song and turned it into a metal song. And I actually like their cover better than the original. Funny story, Dave Mustaine was on some sort of interview show, and he was the subject of the song came up. And he said, yeah, I heard like rumors that Johnny Rotten didn't like my vocals on this. And I thought, wow, you know, he's like, awesome. But he never failed to cash a royalty check. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot of history behind this song, but it's very much an anti-establishment, typical punk, you know, especially British punk song that I really like the interpretation of. And this sort of started the years of me listening to heavy metal when I was a teenager. So like from 14 on, I kind of became a metalhead from that. And this was the genesis for it.
Nice.
And you had the neon green Kramer guitar to prove it.
Yep. Absolutely. Which I think Mark has now, the pieces.
Yeah, I have that body now.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's so good.
But yeah, so let's hear both versions right now. And there we have it.
All right. So that takes care of the first round of covers. Now we're going to go into some listener feedback. We put it out all over the darn place in social media and got lots of really wonderful responses. I'm probably only going to be able to read maybe like half of those that that I got in total. But we're going to create a playlist, as Jer said, for our picks. And then I'm going to create a playlist as well for all of the listener picks, too. So on the show notes here, you should see embedded playlists or links to those. So really good stuff here. As far as feedback that I got, Ali Elabadi said Snoop Dogg's La-Di-Da-Di is a cover of La-Di-Da-Di by Dougie Fresh, which is a great, great example of a cover, which is kind of in the spirit of the original, but still totally different on its own. Neil Liebengut said that she might have a more famous cover, that being Respect, but the cover that Dwayne Allman and Aretha Franklin did of the band's The Weight is extraordinary, which it's true. It really is. Matt Arnold echoed Jer's interest in Hurt by Johnny Cash. Chris Rooney said that Childish Gambino covering Tammy is So Into You for the web series Like a Virgin, and that is really, really good. I really dug that one. Allison Moffat, who has given us lots of feedback over the years, said that Lowe's cover of Rihanna's Stay is Spare and Gorgeous, as well as They Might Be Giants' cover of Tub Thumping for the AB Club Undercover. She calls An Eternal Delight, and it is so good. I watched it. I've seen that many times, but I watched it again. And we also, something that we're going to touch on in the second half here is the least favorite, or just called it worst covers of all time. And she said, least favorite, nobody else ever needs to cover Hallelujah or Wagon Wheel again, which I can't agree with more.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Schilly suggested Gin and Juice by Sissy Bar. Definitely worth checking out. Alex Evenson mentioned Respect by Aretha Franklin, but the dislike that came to mind was Counting Crows version of Joni Mitchell's Big Yellow Taxi. And my God, I cannot agree with that harder.
Yeah.
It's that, so bad. So bad.
That is a perfect example of a cover that did not need to be made.
Exactly. I agree 100%. My cousin Steve said the correct answer to this is Every Polka Medley by Weird Al. And I could not agree with that harder.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
He's correct.
And he said the worst cover is Faith by Limp Bizkit, which is yes. Brooks Rudolph, a coworker of mine, said Square Pusher, Love Will Tear Us Apart, originally by Joy Division. I think that's one of the greatest songs ever written, and the cover does it justice. Year of the Rabbit doing I Want to Be Adored by the Stone Roses. He had like 12 others. I swear to God, it was so many, and it's great. I love it. It's so good. Pete Bolger said, I don't know how you can avoid Quiet Riot's version of Slade's Come On, Feel the Noise.
Mm-hmm.
Becca Alhorn suggested Say You Jorge covering Starman, which is so good. Hillary Blair was really excited about Weezer's Teal album. Hillary, I'm afraid I cannot share in your enthusiasm. The first couple times I heard Africa by Weezer, I was very excited. But man, that album, it's just like all of what is wrong with Weezer for me right now. But I'm glad that it's making people happy, and that's great. So good on you. And then finally, Jeremy Belliner suggested The Promise by Sturgill Simpson. So that was my feedback.
That's a good one.
Again, yeah, that was. He also does a really good cover of In Bloom by Nirvana.
Yeah.
Extraordinary cover of that. So that's what I've got. Lee, on to you. What feedback did you get?
Let's see. My friend John Jackson said that. He said, I really like Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatter's by Maren Morris. I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, I really do not like any cover by Lord.
That's very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of crummy, but that's all right.
Lisa Lerke, who has contributed to this podcast in the past, said Careless Whisper by Seether is a good one. Yep. Creep by Kina Granis.
I'm assuming that's Radiohead.
Yeah. I guess. My Father's Gun by Miranda Lambert. And Bad, under the Bad, she said The Sound of Silence by Disturbed. Landslide by the Dixie Chicks. And Zombie by Bad Wolves. I'm not familiar with that one. My friend Craig Bondi said You Really Got Me by Van Halen, which I have to agree with. And
as a bad one?
As a good one.
Mm. Any cover of, at all of Landslide plus the song Landslide should always be banned.
Ooh, Interesting. You're not a fan of Landslide as a whole?
I'm not a fan of Stevie Nicks.
No.
I can do with,
so you're wrong there, but
I can do without the goat vibrato.
I can sympathize with that. I know where you're coming from. Because
Mark, I bet you know which cover I would suggest for him.
I would as well. And I agree that Smashing Pumpkins version of that song is flatly lacking in goat vibrato.
Well, that's I don't think Billy Corgan's capable of it, but you're right. I had forgotten about that one, but yeah. I digress. I apologize.
To each their own. To each their own.
And Craig also said that he also said "Sound of Silence" by Disturbed that he did not like. Mariah Jean said "Wicked Game" covered by Corey Taylor is good. "Knocking on Heaven's Door" covered by Guns N' Roses is bad.
That was the first I heard "Knocking on Heaven's Door," so I'm a little biased, but
yeah.
I mowed a lot of lawns while listening to "Knocking on Heaven's Door." Yeah. I tell you what.
And let's see, my high school buddy Waylon Art said, "Okay, not sure if this counts, but Wagon Wheel was partially written by Bob Dylan and kind of covered by Old Crow Medicine Show." Mm-hmm. I have no idea what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the Darius Rucker version is even worse.
Yeah, and that's, well, he did go on to say, "Same song, but by Hootie is terrible and I hate it."
Yeah.
And that's all I've got.
Nice. Good, good. So we'll be going into the listener feedback from the other gents here in the second half, but let's move on to our second cover here. Mark, you're up first.
Thank you. My second submission for this episode is Tom Sawyer, originally by Rush, as covered by Mindless Self-Indulgence. It is as raucous and bananas as the name sounds. I think most everyone is familiar with the original version. Let's talk about Mindless Self-Indulgence for a second. This is a really interesting band that is equal parts punk and metal and electronic and hip hop, very, very eclectic group. They have their own sound. There's nobody quite like them. And also irreverent as all get out without being goofy. It's a very unique band. They're an acquired taste. And their cover of Tom Sawyer is perfect for them. Let's have a listen.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. Though his mind is not for him, don't put him down as arrogant. His reserve a quiet defense, writing out.
Yeah, so that's Tom Sawyer is covered by Mindless Self-Indulgence. One of my favorite things, yes. I'm really, really happy that this cover exists, and I share it with as many people as possible.
I have to say that it takes a large song to make Rush's version of Tom Sawyer seem rudimentary. and this does that. The only thing I do have a small qualm, which is the 7/4 bit in the middle they do in 8/4 time, like they just kind of keep it straight.
Yeah.
Which when they're playing at the speed at which they're playing, I'll give them some benefit of the doubt, because I sure as hell couldn't do that. But when I heard it, I was like, I missed the 7/4. But otherwise, yeah, so badass and so fast and so a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of a lot. Okay, all that said, Lee, what's your next pick?
Mine is another one from when I was much younger. The cover, or the original and the cover were recorded not very far apart. I think the original was like 1983 and the cover was 1985. But it's the Bangles covering If She Knew What She Wants by Jules Shear. And I picked this one because it's a great example of the original being very stuck in the 80s. It sounds like an 80s song. It's very dated, but the cover is a little more timeless and sounds, you know, even today it sounds a little, it sounds fresh and it sounds a little more modern. I just think it's done way better than the original. And I remember hearing this when I was a kid and watching the video on MTV. And I've always liked the song a lot. It's a great song about relationship issues. And I didn't really appreciate all of that as a kid. But as I got older, I started to understand it better. And that's what's kind of held my interest all these years, and I still go back to it from time to time and listen to it. It's just, I just like the melody. I like the lyrics, and I've always loved the Bangles' ability to do a really great four-part harmony.
Totally.
So yeah, the original, let's listen to the original and the cover. See what I mean?
I do. Mm-hmm. Lee, I have to tell you, I had never heard either of these songs.
Really?
And
really?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't remember it, at least. Maybe I have it. I just don't recall. And man, is this a good song. And I got to say, I'm down with your Bangles version, but that Jules Shear version, man, that is...
It's weird.
It's so good. I can't believe I've never heard that. That was like the real treat for this whole experience with me, is just like his version of that song. I mean, it hits me right square in the sort of new wavy synth dork guy that I am, right? So it's like in my wheelhouse for sure. And they do a great cover. And I also like your mention that they're so close together. Like, it's really weird to have a cover a couple years later.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that it's there. That's so cool.
Yeah.
And I also love... I forget how great Bangles' harmonies are. They're just so, so solid.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like, if you listen to some of the songs that they wrote themselves, it's very much like listening to a female version of the Beatles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're still one of my favorites. But let's move on to Andy.
I am going to talk about the classic from the... Did you say this is from the American Songbook? I don't know. I just did, so who knows? The song Moon River, made famous by Audrey Hepburn, Andy Williams, and Chevy Chase in the movie Fletch. But more importantly, I'm going to talk about the cover version as sung by the band The Innocence Mission. Mm. I have my good friend Mark to thank for introducing me to the Innocence Mission on a mix CD he made way back, I'm going to say probably 2002.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
It was right about then. And I had, and the song was, That Was Another Country. And gorgeous, I remember, song. And yeah. it just blew my mind. And I was completely unprepared for what that was. And I have never been able to shake the Innocence Mission ever since. And I'm glad that I haven't, because they still continue to be mesmerizing. If you're not familiar with the Innocence Mission, I highly recommend them. It is just a quaint little group, three people, really. A husband and wife, Karen and Don Paris, and then another gentleman, Mike Bitz, I believe. Mike Bitz, yes, thank you. And Karen's voice is, for lack of a better term, unique. It's very, gosh, I don't even know how you would ever describe it. But I won't try to describe it. So, but it's beautiful. And the version of the Innocence Mission, the Innocence Mission's version of Moon River is from a record they did called Now the Day is Over, which is a song of essentially lullabies. So here we have, let's say, which version do you have on the playlist for the originals? And Andy Williams?
Yes.
Okay. Here we have Andy Williams doing the third encore. Never thought he'd do it. Moon River. That's a Simpsons reference.
Nice.
And then Innocence Mission following that. Here you go.
Wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday. Oh, dream maker, you heartbreaker, wherever you're going, I'm going your way. To
you enjoyed them.
I gotta say, Andy, that I was listening to more of their stuff because I'd never heard them before, and their cover of What a Wonderful World is so good. It's
oh man,
yeah,
that's melts. A hard one to get through for me without getting a little dusty in the room,
right? Yeah, exactly.
So Kyle, I'm very excited to hear about this one.
Oh, thank you. So my next cover is original by Black Sabbath. It is probably, if not the most played guitar riff of all time, maybe one of them, and that is Iron Man. You know the riff.
Channeling our Beavis and Butthead.
Everybody knows this song and that riff. The cover that I have chosen here is by The Cardigans, who most people know from the song Love Fool from their album, whose name I don't remember. First Band on the Moon. Thank you. And also the Romeo and Juliet soundtrack, I think, is what actually brought it into the world for most people. My favorite thing about this cover is that riff is not played once. It dances around it. It is kind of like a smooth jazz cover. I love this version.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's just incredible. So let's take a listen so that you can have an idea what the original is and how the cover just completely changes it.
We'll be right back.
I know, it's so good. Oh man, that's like almost "I Want You to Want Me" at Budokan. Like, I want you to want me. I am Iron Man.
It feels like this band doesn't exist in this world. I mean, it's so...
I know, it's like a Space Jam.
Well, Jer, it's from the album The First Band on the Moon, so I assume it came from the moon.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's just smack dab in the middle of the album. Like, it's just a regular old track, right, in one of their albums. It's so good.
I want so much more of this. It's so good.
It's so good. Yeah. So you can hear the difference between the two. Just super chill, really mellow drums. And I have to say, the Cardigans don't get enough credit for being the songwriters and performers that they are. They put out some really, really good records. Oh, Gran Turismo is extraordinary.
Yeah, it is.
Long Gone Before Daylight after that. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing songwriting. They're so talented and so good. And they just never really like... kind of got past Love Fool for most people, but man, so good. I know. Yeah, who'd think there'd be boopy doops in an Iron Man? Man, I love it.
So glad
it's just so good. Yeah, a cover doesn't have to completely undo the original, but it sure is fun when it does, and this is a perfect example of that. Speaking of, Jer, tell us about your second choice.
Yeah, so... all that stuff that I talked about in the for my first pick about cover songs needing to sort of uplift and transform their songs and make them something more than they were originally. Well, I'm going to take all of that wisdom and throw it out the window. And we're going to go a totally different direction here. What I'm going to talk about is the song Gin and Juice, originally sung by... Snoop Dogg in the mid-90s and the hip-hop boom of the mid-90s as covered by local alternative country progressive bluegrass band. Holy cow, that's hard to say. The Gourds. And what is significant to me about this song, first off, is that there's a little bit of an urban legend about it. This song was, I discovered it back in the golden age of LimeWire and Napster. And when it was first being circulated in those old Napster days, everybody attributed it to the band Phish. And so, but it wasn't Phish, but that's sort of the title that everybody gave it.
No way.
But it's the Gourds, who are this totally little local band from Texas that somehow got this song out before the internet and became famous for it, and they became more famous for them not recognizing that it was the Gourds than it would have been if it was just their song. So, it's such a good song. I mean, the Snoop Dogg version is a classic. It came out right in the middle of this hip hop resurgence, and I mean, there's just something so catchy and fun about the lyrics and the ridiculousness of this song.
I think it just goes to show you that hanging out with your friends is a very universal thing.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Laid back.
Biatch. I mean, that's, and now you have a perfect example of why I don't write bluegrass or hip hop songs, but let's have a listen to both.
Laid back
with my mind on my money and my money on my mind, rolling down the street, smoking loud, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back
with my mind on my money and my money.
Now, I got me some Seagram's gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. Now this type of fish happens all the time. You gotta get yours, but fool, I gotta get mine. Everything is fine when you're listening to the D.O.G. I got the cultivating music that be captivating me. Who listens to the words that I speak as I take me a drink to the middle of the street and get to back into the street.
And I've been rolling down the street, smoking in, sipping on gin and juice, laid back.
On my money and my money on my mind,
rolling nice straight, smoking in, oh, sipping on gin and juice, laid back.
On my mind,
oh.
All right, there you go.
That is a great choice, Chair. I like it. I like it a lot. Well, that was fun, and this is only halfway done.
Oh boy.
I'm excited. So in the second half, we will be going through our number one cover, whatever that might be, and our least favorite cover of all time. So speaking of party buddies, Remakers Mark is a proud member of the Math is Hard Network. To find out more information about this podcast or any other podcasts on the network, check us out at mathishard.net. There you will find show notes with links to all the people, movies, and links discussed in this episode. Hey, we didn't talk about movies. How about songs? How about playlists? That's better than the script that I have in front of me. Who knew? This information is also attached to the show file in the podcast client of your choice. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Google Play and Apple Podcasts, where you can rate and review Remakers Mark, which would mean the world to us. We are on Instagrizzle at Remakers Mark Podcast, and both Facebizzle and Twitizzle at Remakers Mark. So please join in the discussion there as well.
Gazizza Dilsnoofus.
Oh, God. So until the next time, where we talk about more covers that are rocking our world, gentlemen, may the force be with you.
And also with you.
You had a good little Casey Kasem vibe right there. Nice work.
This is going out. It's a long-distance dedication from Jimmy in San Francisco to his girlfriend Sandy in Jersey City.